Please be seated. Good morning, everybody, and a special welcome to anybody who may be visiting Holy Cross today. You're warmly welcome to be with us. If I don't look familiar to you, my name is Wade Hinkle, and the reason I'm not familiar looking is because I'm normally hanging out at the 8 o'clock service. But this morning, I've been invited to actually give the annual stewardship sermon. It's the tradition at Holy Cross that this sermon is actually done by a lay person, and I think I can tell you why. Because the success of the stewardship campaign is completely dependent on the decision we lay people are about to make over the next few weeks. So I think it's really important that we take a couple of moments now and have a candid conversation about pledging and about how that relates to our faith as Christians. So I'm going to do this by examining three different topics. I'd like to talk first about stewardship. Second, I'd like to talk a little bit about the purpose of a church. And third, I'd like to talk about the idea of sacrificial faith and giving. So let's begin by talking for a moment about stewardship. You know, that seems like a pretty oblique term, like maybe we're trying to hide something, right? I mean, isn't this really just about fundraising, right? Or signing up for volunteer service? I mean, that's what the United Way talks about, and it seems to work okay for them, right? Well, the reason that we don't talk like that is because churches are not charities or causes. Now, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with charities. I actually ran a United Way when I was younger. So I understand that charity is a secular form of outreach. But you give to a charity. You make a contribution. You make a donation. You make a gift. By contrast, stewardship is something that you and I perform. And not only do we perform it, it's an obligation. We perform it because God told us to. Fundamentally, stewardship is simply another way of talking about ministry. Now, that's not a thought that's original to me. A number of different theologians have written on it, and you'll hear from them in just a minute on that topic. But let me explain more what I mean when I say that stewardship and ministry are synonyms. So the word stewardship comes from the Greek word meaning somebody who manages a household. Now, I took biblical Hebrew, not biblical Greek, so I'm not going to try to pronounce the Greek for you. But take my word for it. The meaning in Greek is somebody who doesn't own the house but keeps it up. And you know, that's exactly the relationship that we have to God's creation. As the 24th Psalm reminds us, the earth is the Lord's, and all that is in it, the world and those who live in it. What does that mean? Well, C.S. Lewis has given us an idea. He wrote, "Your power of thinking or of moving your limbs from moment to moment is given to you by God. If you devoted every moment of your whole life exclusively to his service, you could not give him anything that in a sense was not his already." You know, from the very beginning of the Bible, right in the story of the Garden of Eden, Scripture makes clear that mankind is to be the steward of God's creation. We read in Genesis that the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and to keep it. And even more important, we're told repeatedly that stewardship is a ministry. It's our ministry. To quote from Deuteronomy, "Fear the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, love him, serve the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul." So that's stewardship. Here's the second thought. What exactly does a church have to do with stewardship and ministry? Well, it's in the church, in a church, that we learn to live as God has commanded us. What do we do in a church? We worship God. We study His Word. We pray. We learn to love one another. We learn to help each other. We experience baptism and communion. We learn to live as godly people. And most importantly, we train ourselves to spread God's message to the world. Now, to be sure, we do all these things outside a church as well as inside a church, right? But it's inside the church, a church, that we spiritually prepare ourselves to do these things, right? We help others to prepare in a church. And even more crucially, we get help. We help each other in our own preparation. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus told us to do in the two great commandments. So the church, is essential for ministry. In fact, it's precisely the place for ministry, right? Because ministry isn't something you can do alone. We are the people of God. We're not the individuals of God, right? And because stewardship is intrinsic to our ministry, that means that we are stewards of the church. We are stewards of Holy Cross. So it's up to us to give Holy Cross the resources that it needs to serve as the focal point of our ministries. You probably remember that wonderful prayer by St. Teresa of Avila, which begins, "Christ has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours." Well, you know what? Holy Cross has no money except for ours. And Holy Cross has no ministers until we volunteer. You know, this coming year is going to be a very exciting time at Holy Cross. We've got a new rector being installed tomorrow. And I think there's a new sense of energy and purpose here at Holy Cross. If you're a newcomer, you might not know that we already have a very extensive set of ministries. When you go out to get coffee, look at the wall chart that's up that shows you the breadth and scope of our ministries. But we would like to do still more in 2016. And here are just some highlights. Right? Vacation Bible School and a middle school camp in the summer. Revamping our website and our welcoming program for newcomers. Expanding Bible study, and one thing that I think is very important, expanding our spiritual formation program. More feeding for the homeless. Funding for our mission work in Dungannon and Tanzania. None of these things will be possible without more volunteers and more money. I'm going to be really blunt. We're having a money problem here at Holy Cross. We ran a deficit last year, and the prospective budget for the coming year shows another $50,000 deficit. That's after all the substantial budget cuts that we made last year. In a similar way, we have a volunteer deficit, right? Much of our inreach and outreach programs rely on just a few dedicated parishioners. And we very much need to expand the pool of people who serve up here and back there during worship. So this brings me to the third and last topic, which is how each of us as individuals and families should think through the question about what to pledge in terms of our time and our money next year. And my answer, which is inspired by today's gospel reading, for the answer is, just like blind Bartimaeus, use your faith to seek the answer. Now, you know, there are several places in the Old Testament that talk about the idea of tithing, of giving 10% of your crop or livestock to the parish priests. There's some reason to think that the priests actually wrote that part, because when it's mentioned in the Old Testament, there won't be priests or a tabernacle for 800 years. So there's some idea that maybe they went and rewrote that part of the Old Testament. There are no references to a formula for giving in the New Testament. Instead, we're actually told in 1 Corinthians that giving should be in keeping with one's means. In the letter, it's written, Now, concerning the collection for the saints, on the first day of every week, each of you is to set aside and save whatever extra you earn. Okay. But that said, it's very clear from Jesus' teaching that our offerings ought to represent sacrificial giving. Remember the story of the widow's mite in Luke and Mark when she gave her last two pennies? Right? And Jesus explains that the poor woman's gift meant more than all the offerings from the rich men. For all of them had contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on. Now, if the idea of being asked to make a sacrifice in your giving makes you squirm, remember God set the example first. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, as is written in John. And don't feel bad if at first you wish that you didn't actually have to sacrifice to give to the church. Even Jesus in the garden initially asked that the cup be passed from his lips. But ultimately, he was sustained in his willingness to make his sacrifice by his faith, just as Bartimaeus was saved by his. Holy Cross, your church, my church, needs your money and your time. The ingathering of pledges is going to take place on Sunday, November 8th. Please pray about your decision. Talk to your family, talk to your friends, talk to your fellow parishioners. If you have already made a pledge, think about what you heard here today and consider an increase. How much should you give? Frankly, if the amount that you're pledging doesn't make you wince, prayerfully consider giving more. Blind Bartimaeus opened his eyes through the strength of his faith. Together, let the strength of our faith open Holy Cross to all the works that God would have us do. Amen.